Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Radio Mariam Armenia. My name is Christopher Croson, and yet again, I'll be your host. I am a Birthright Armenia volunteer, and I'm currently working on a project with Radio Mariam, in which I am conducting interviews with my fellow Birthrighters and Birthright Armenia alumni to see what they can tell us about their volunteering experience and their insights into Armenia today. Today, however, is very different. I'm throwing our listeners a bit of a curveball, and I am not interviewing a Birthright Armenia volunteer, nor an alumni. So who is it? Who is this mysterious guest where we have on the show today? Well, of course, it is none other than the incredible Peter Malloy, one of my friends from the UK who is currently traveling around Armenia and has stopped in Gyumri for a few days to see what our stunning city has to offer. It's great to see you here, Pete, and welcome.
Thank you very much for having me. It's great to be here.
All right, so what I usually do here, I get the volunteers to just talk a bit about themselves, introduce themselves. Where are they from? Where were they born? Are they studying? Are they working? So yeah, let's have our listeners get acquainted with you, Pete.
Well, hello, my name's Peter. Nice. I'm 22 years old. I'm from Scotland in the UK. I was a student. I graduated back in June, and I'm now, I don't think I can really say I'm having a job or volunteering. I'm just enjoying a bit of time off, and I decided that I would like to come back to the Caucasus, where I've already spent a bit of time. Yes, well, I'm sure we can get to that. And when I heard that Chris was in Gyumri, I knew I had to stop by.
All right, so when you said come back, tell us about that.
Well, so this is actually how you and I met.
Right.
It was back in, we met in August 2022, I suppose, in Tbilisi, in Georgia. And we were both studying there as doing a year abroad as part of our university degrees. We were studying Russian language, which was a very interesting thing to be studying in that place at that time.
2022 August, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and became even more interesting in September. And we were part of a wider group of British students who'd all moved out to Tbilisi for varying periods of time. And we became friends there and have happily remained friends ever since.
Beautiful. So have you just returned to the Caucasus just because would you say you fell in love with it when you came to Georgia in 2022?
Definitely. You know, I left Georgia now over a year and a half ago, and I remember leaving feeling really quite sad and quite discombobulated because it had been over, I think, around about 7 months, and I'd had such a fun time. I'd made so many friends, and I felt like I was going to really miss the place. And yeah, I have. So that was definitely part of it. When I was still studying, I didn't have the time to do this. And now that I'm having some time off, this opportunity arose. And initially, the plan was really just to go to Georgia.
Right.
But I had the fortune to visit Armenia a couple of times when I was living in Georgia.
Right.
So I decided that would be fun. And then when I heard that one of my friends was here, that just, it really all sort of fell into place quite nicely.
So tell us your impressions of Georgia when you first went there.
My first impressions were strange because it was, honestly, Georgia was not a country that I had really even heard of beyond the fact that they had a decent rugby team until, you know, really about February or March of 2022. And then all our plans as Russian students changed for our study abroad, and we had to reevaluate what we were doing. And Georgia became this option for me. So I came in really without any preconception or prejudices or anything.
Right.
And, you know, what I saw was this, it's a very small country like Armenia, but so rich in terms of diversity of landscape, diversity of culture, and also just, you know, really friendly people, and who are just, I would say, a lot more chill than what I've seen in the UK, what I've seen in Western Europe, and always game for a good time, always very happy to speak to people that they don't know, which as a newcomer, as a foreigner, is always the most valuable thing,
of course,
I would say.
Okay, so whilst we were studying in Georgia, you stayed a bit longer than I did. How many times did you come to Armenia?
I came to Armenia twice. Once was when my parents came to visit me in Georgia, and I decided that we could go for a very short weekend trip to Armenia. So we went to the Alaverdi Valley, which is not far from the border with Georgia. And then I came again on my own for a slightly longer trip where I went to Yerevan. and that was in nearly exactly 2 years ago now. Okay. And I spent a sort of, I think, just under a week in Yerevan. So that's my, that was my experience of Armenia.
Before coming here now.
Before coming to Gyumri.
Do you remember your impressions of the place when you came to Armenia on your year abroad?
Yes, definitely. I think there's a really, really big contrast between Armenia and Georgia, and also in terms of my perspective, between Tbilisi, where I was living, really? And Yerevan. What can be said for Yerevan is, you know, as a bit of a Caucasus nerd, a bit of a history nerd, is that it's got such cool vibes.
Right.
And it's there's a real kind of, I don't know, what we would refer to as, you know, Sovietsky vibe. In Yerevan. And we always refer to it slightly as Gotham City, which I don't mean because there's loads of rubbish, because there isn't. I think it's a great place and I love it. But because it's just got this slightly dark feel, slightly cool feel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it feels like quite a melting pot of different cultures, and that obviously there's the Armenian culture. You're seeing a lot of Russian signs and language on the streets, and then I think now you're also seeing more foreigners coming as well. And even in the 2 years that I've been away from Armenia, I've noticed a considerable increase in the number of foreigners I'm hearing out in the streets.
Before you came to Gyumri now, you were in Yerevan for a few days, right?
Yes.
Have you noticed, well, you touched on the differences, but have you noticed anything else, or have you got any new impressions of Armenia or Yerevan?
I do have some impressions, and I think it's perhaps a slightly, you know, I don't want to sound harsh, but a slightly frustrated one.
Mm-hmm.
I love Yerevan because it's a fantastic city, and it has the most incredible view over to Mount Ararat. And that is just, you know, I honestly think that is one of the best views I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And it's such an iconic thing. And then in all around the city, you can see sort of snow-topped mountains.
Right.
And it's got some really nice parks. You know, I'm a runner. Mm-hmm. I love spending time in these parks, nice. Which, you know, running gives you funny looks in Yerevan.
Right.
But I suppose where my frustration lies is that I see a lot of things that could be really seized upon that perhaps aren't. And what I mean is, you know, for example, maybe one of the most famous places in Yerevan, perhaps in Armenia, is the Cascade. And this beautiful, beautiful staircase, which looks amazing. And then you get to the top of the Cascade, and it's just a sort of derelict building site with scaffolding, which has not changed an iota since I was here 2 whole years ago.
Mm.
Now, 2 years is, on the one hand, a short time, but on the other hand, it's a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just thinking, what's going to happen there? You know, what are we doing there? Because I'm surely thinking there's people wanting to do something there.
Right.
And so this is where I feel that Yerevan, and, you know, I can't really speak for the rest of Armenia, but Yerevan perhaps has some untapped potential that's maybe not being capitalized on at the moment.
I see. All right, enough about Yerevan. We're in Gyumri.
Yes.
You've been here for over a day now, right?
Yep.
So it's a very short time, and, you know, I'm sure you've not seen too much of the city yet, but some sort of initial impressions, I'm sure, have been formed. What can you tell us about Gyumri?
Number one, I'm a Scotsman. I come from the land of terrible weather,
nice,
and rain and wind. And so far, it's been glorious. It's been absolutely fantastic. We are clearly in the spell of an absolutely glorious Caucasus autumn, where it's just really sunny. I mean, it's pretty cold, but it's really sunny. So yeah. I'm loving that for a start. I'm glad to see a lot of dogs. I'm liking that. They make me feel quite happy. You know, it's another little aspect. But yeah, I'm really enjoying Gyumri so far. I've been exploring quite a lot of it, seeing some of the main squares, some of the main parks. It's a very, very different vibe to Yerevan, where I've been before, to other places I've been in this part of the world, in the sense that it feels, on the one hand, quite quiet, but there's clearly, you know, a lot going on. And I was lucky enough through you to meet some of the other volunteers, and there's loads of you, and you're all doing different things in such different fields. So there's clearly, you know, clearly a lot to be said for what is quite a small place. Certainly by, you know, if you come from America, you come from Western Europe, you would consider this to be quite a small place.
Of course, yeah. All right, so like you said at the start of our episode, we met in Georgia. We were studying Russian. So let's talk a bit about your Russian language skills. How are they doing now? And is it coming into handy in this part of the world?
Yeah, so I'm really trying to keep up my Russian language skills, and it's hard because language is such a it's such an impermanent thing. Right. If you don't practice, you get worse. And that's just a fact for anyone with any language. Mm-hmm. I should say I was living in Georgia for over half a year, but then I spent around about 3 months in Central Asia, in Kyrgyzstan, where I was speaking exclusively Russian. So I had this fantastic year of so much Russian. Mm-hmm. And I worked hard to carry that through university, and I've certainly got a little bit of a boost in the last few days being back in Armenia. I, to my great shame, do not speak any Armenian, unlike you, who I've been very impressed by. So I've been relying on you a little bit the last day, but yeah, I've been using my Russian again, and that's been really nice as well.
In Armenia, do you feel A, comfortable speaking Russian, and B, do you find that a lot of people speak it?
So first part of the question, yes, I think I do feel comfortable speaking Russian in a way that I definitely would not in Georgia now, for pretty understandable reasons. And from my perspective, yes, it feels like a lot of people speak Russian. I imagine the rate is lower among younger people. Uh-huh. That's sort of a trend that's reflected more widely in other countries as well. But I think Armenia has actually seems like a much higher rate of Russian speakers compared to other similar countries. So I find it's quite easy. I also find that I am looks-wise mistaken for a Russian, because I'm a man traveling by myself. You know, they probably think I'm an ITishnik or something who's flown from Moscow, doing a bit of, you know, working remotely, blah, blah, blah. So it's a fair assumption to make, and it works fine for me because I can respond. But I've been, you know, always very happy to speak English as well. And it would be great if I could respond in Armenian, but alas, I cannot. But yeah, and I was saying to you actually earlier, it felt like to me that in Yerevan, at least, I was hearing even more Russian on the streets than I was 2 years ago. Uh-huh. And I think my sense is that particularly Yerevan is becoming more of a really sought after location for Russians and Russian speakers who have this like mobile style of work where they can work anywhere and live anywhere. So that's quite interesting to me as well. I think you would perhaps expect that to have trended downwards in the past 2 years, but this is purely my perspective.
Right.
It feels like it's gone up.
Interesting. All right, let's talk a bit more about tourism in this part of the world. Do you recommend people from UK, Western Europe, America, they come and check out Armenia?
Like, literally, hands down. Like, so much. I mean, I'm like an absolute propagandist for like people coming to Georgia, coming to Armenia now. Like, it's, and anyone who knows me will tell them that I'm always like, you gotta come, because it's a fantastic part of the world. And I think Armenia is really sad because it's not particularly well known, particularly in the UK.
For good things.
And because I do get a sense that maybe it's perhaps proportionally better known in America, because there's this huge Armenian diaspora. Well, you were saying lots of the volunteers who come here are, you know, American, and they have Armenian heritage. And you know, I was in last December, I was in LA, and we were driving through a bit of Hollywood called Little Yerevan. And you know, I've got the picture on my phone of the sign, and it, stuff like that is, it shows like a real sort of spreading of Armenian culture. But that's not quite the same, it feels to me, in the UK. And I think in a way that, if I can make a comparison with Georgia again, Georgia is becoming a lot more well known in terms of tourism in Western Europe, and more flights are opening, and there's more routes offered and more opportunities for tourists. I feel like that's not quite happening yet in Armenia, and I would really love to see that. I think it would be fantastic if you could get a direct flight from the UK to Armenia, but you can't. It's the same, you can't get one to Georgia as well. And I rue that lack of opportunity, because I think there's so much that Armenia has to offer tourism-wise, and not just in the capital city. Like, the natural landscape as well is gorgeous. You know, when I was in the Alaverdi Valley, visiting all these amazing little monasteries that are perched on these sort of impossible hillsides, and there's all these abandoned factories and mines, and then it turns out that some of the most famous people in the Soviet Union came from this valley, and I mean, it's astonishing. And I wish that there was that there were more people experiencing that, but I'm sure it will come.
Things like this are contributing to making it happen. So
absolutely.
I thank you for your kind words. I thank you for trying to put Armenia more on the map, Pete. All right, let's perhaps get a bit more political. So I know when you were studying in Georgia, you didn't just visit Armenia for a little holiday. You also went to Azerbaijan.
Yes.
And actually, this is truthful, listeners. I hope you trust me. I can't remember if I asked, you know, what are your impressions or how was it? So I'd like to ask you now. I'd like you to tell our listeners, what were your honest impressions of Azerbaijan?
So I went to Azerbaijan in the new year of 2023.
Mm-hmm.
So a wee while ago now, but not that long ago. My impressions of Azerbaijan are quite limited because I was only in Baku, which is the capital city.
Right.
And I'd had a little trip around the sort of outskirts because they have a little bit of these little sulfur volcanoes that you can go and see outside the city. So I went and saw them, and they have there's like a fire that's burning all the time, which was quite cool as well. So my impressions are limited, but particularly Baku is absolutely nothing like anywhere else in the Caucasus.
Mm-hmm.
It is, the center of it is absolutely dripping with wealth.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously that's oil money.
Right.
People say it's like a mixture of Paris and Dubai, and I would honestly be inclined to agree. You know, they have the permanent F1 track.
Mm-hmm.
The roads are completely, you know, beyond perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And they have this old town, and they have this enormous promenade out onto the Caspian Sea and huge infrastructure. I mean, they have this vast international airport. But at the same time, perhaps Azerbaijan also experiences a lot of the same problems as the rest of the Caucasus in terms of a centralization of money and resources. Because, you know, if you were from the perspective of, let's say, an F1 fan coming to watch the F1, and you flew to the airport and you got a taxi from the airport to the center and you stayed in a 5-star hotel in the center, you'd think, wow, this is such a rich country.
Right.
You know, everything's totally sorted here. You need to go mere miles away from the center, and you're seeing similar problems to what other countries in the Caucasus are experiencing in terms of lack of housing, lack of infrastructure. So I think problems of like wealth centralization are even more extreme there, which is sad. And I think that's a direct consequence of this huge influx of oil wealth that's come in, really new actually, only in the last sort of 25 years, which in the, if we're talking about, you know, the history of our country, is really a really short time.
Of course.
Yeah.
And did you have any chances to speak to any of the local people?
Yeah, I did. I would say I didn't probe too far. And I think, you know, obviously there's a very complicated, tricky relationship between Armenia and Azerbaijan.
Right.
And the, obviously there's a, you know, there's a perspective, there's many perspectives to it, and there is an Azerbaijani perspective, which is, you know, heavily tempered by rhetoric and, you know, what I would describe as propaganda. And I do feel that was, you know, clouding people's judgment. But at the same time, it's perhaps less pertinent to think about that and think about, well, why are people thinking that? Why are they, you know, believing in what they're believing in? So I did have a chance to get into that a little bit. But I feel like I would have perhaps had a more real sense of that if I'd been outside of Baku. Because, you know, you have to remember that in the practical sense, Baku is about as far away from Armenia as you can get. And the people there are, for the most part, you know, not particularly engaged in these issues.
Because, right.
You know, they're living in a wealthy city where, you know, salaries are quite high and, you know, their country is in a relatively prosperous situation. The perspective is perhaps slightly different there.
Of course, 100%. Let's shift our focus back to Armenia. What do you think the future of Armenia looks like?
I am hopeful.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there are reasons to worry, definitely. Mm-hmm. I think many of those reasons are entirely outwith of Armenia's control. Its geopolitical situation is really difficult.
Mm-hmm.
We shouldn't pretend it's not. But what I am hopeful about is that there is a, you know, to me, there is a real sense of a drive towards Armenia playing a wider role, a more expanded role internationally. And I'm hopeful, you know, when I'm talking about things like I want to see more tourists come, I know it's a small thing, but I feel like that is part of, you know, of Armenia making more of a name for itself in the West. I'm really hopeful that you've now got this new generation of young people who are much more perhaps open-minded.
Right.
And when they're complemented by, you know, people like you, who more and more are coming to Armenia and are spending time here, working here, volunteering here. You know, it's not a one-way relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not just talking about people like you who have Armenian ancestry, relatives here, whatever. I'm hoping that there's going to begin a trend of more general foreign interest in Armenia. It helps that they beat Wales in the football, for a start. I mean, that, like, winning international football games puts you on the map
big time. That's true.
So, like, long live that. I mean, I don't want them to beat Scotland, which is, like, probably worryingly realistic. But at the same time, like, if they did, I would be too sad. You know what I mean? I would be too sad.
There are other countries which you'd be more upset
Like, I'm more... If they could beat England, that would be amazing. You know what I mean? Like, I would, I'd try and get an Armenian passport if they beat England. Like, but, yeah. I do think a general... more wider international awareness of Armenia can only be a good thing, and that's a two-way thing, and I hope that that can just flourish and develop.
Well, it's thanks to people like you as well, Pete, coming here and coming on the show and sharing these perspectives that's helping Armenia to flourish, develop, and putting the country more on the map. So we cannot thank you enough for coming. It has been such a pleasure to first of all just see you as a friend. It's really good to see you here, and I really love the fact that you agreed to have this interview. It's been really interesting, and thank you so much, Pete.
Thank you very much for having me. It's been fantastic.